Once again, I read the 23rd Psalm. And let me say again, the more I know about this psalm, the more I know that it had to be written by someone that had experienced life in all of its vast struggles and found the deeps of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I can just feel that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the third Sunday, always prior to this, as I have spoken on this psalm. I have used one Sunday for every verse, but this psalm has so enlarged in my own life, and my understanding of God has so enlarged over the years, that I feel under God I'd like to share with you the true heart and the meat of what goes on here. Now, I won't have exhausted it. I'm sure 25 years from now, if the Lord were to tarry and keep me, I might preach 4 or 5 sermons on each verse. But the first verse, this is the third morning we've been with it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, I shall not want. Now, we pointed out in the previous messages that the heart of this first verse is assurance. If we were to bring it down and try to describe it in one word, we would say assurance. And we pointed out in previous 2 Sundays that a base of assurance must be had before anyone can accomplish anything. Can you imagine that child there starting out to climb the highest mountain in the world? Why, her grandpa and her grandma and anyone that loved her had any thought for it, say, honey, you're just taking your life into your own hands, and I don't know how far you'll get, but you won't get very far. And even the greatest mountain climber attacking the mountain puts their lives in jeopardy. Jesus talked about a man going to war. He said if he sees the enemy coming and he knows he can't meet that enemy and that enemy's strength with his strength while he is yet a way off, he sends and he sues for peace. That's the smart thing to do. Well, now I'm going to tell you frankly, if any of you think you can do it without God, you are bound for failure. There are 2 approaches. You know, there are those that will tell you, you got to do it. That's like telling a man who's stuck up to his neck in a mud hole, grab yourselves by the bootstraps and lift yourself out. You're facing an impossibility. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you don't do and what you do do. Read the great claims of that Apostle Paul. He had it all. Every aristocracy of the flesh, everything that most men aspire to and long to have, he had it. But when it came to winning Christ, he said it was all just a bunch of refuse and threw it away. He said, my education didn't help me. My blue blood didn't help me. My religion didn't help me. Nothing helped me. And he said, when I meet him, I want to be found in him, having not mine own righteousness, which is of the law. That ought to settle it forever, what kind of righteousness you want when you meet him. Oh, the subtlety of Satan. But now, precious hearts, you'll notice here, God enables his people to approach life from a perfect base. Paul not only was persuaded the good thing that he had committed to God, God was able to keep, but he wrote a little letter one day and he said, I'm persuaded the good work God began in you, he'll perform it. What? Did you ever read that? You ought to read it. It might do you good. Now, you might reject it, probably. Oh, you say, Brother Hill, I've read it. Did you read it with your heart? Or did you just read it up here? Now, dear hearts, Christ qualifies as the great shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd and the bishop of the soul. He's interested in you. And he said, I know my sheep, and he calls them by name. Isn't it a wonderful thing that each has a special place when he calls them, he protects them. He's the author, he's the finisher of your faith. I'm going to read again that poem that fell into my hands not too awful long ago. If we should find unfinished, incomplete, a single glistening pearly drop of dew, a single feather in the daring wings that soar exultant in the distant blue, a flake of snow upon the mountain's peak, a fern within some hidden cool abyss, then might we doubt that God's most perfect plan in our lives perchance might go amiss. Well, you might not like it, but it's the fact anyway. And you say, you're not going to keep me from telling. This is the kind of story by God's grace I'll tell until the last breath goes out of me or until I go home. Now, the Lord, I mentioned, protects us. And not by hiding us away from temptation and danger, but by personally making us secure in the changes and the chances of life. If he doesn't protect me out there, who is? Divine wisdom and mercy exposes us to the discipline and the trial of sorrow. For it is thus that we're trained for the throne. We'll go to heaven. If we suffer with him, we'll reign. Timothy, now God is putting you in the vice. I'm mindful of your tears. Don't be ashamed of me and my chains. Timothy, don't you know if you deny God the right to have His way in you, He'll have to deny you the right to sit on the throne and rule and reign with Him? You were cut out. Listen, you don't have to become a king and a priest. You are. You don't have to be born of the aristocracy of heaven. You are. You don't have to become worthy. You are. You don't have to try to be holy. You are. Created in righteousness and true holiness. However, when Satan attacks, whether it'll be by doubts, by sudden assaults, by prosperity, and of course I have seen this act on people like an opiate that puts them to sleep. The name of the Lord for all of them is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. Aren't you glad that's there? The shepherd loves with all the strength of God and yet all the sympathy of man. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He knows our frame because He lived in one for 33 years. Don't you know that? He sweat. He wept. His heart broke. They could pierce that body. They could crown it with thorns. They could rip it apart with the whips. Just like your body. But the person that lived in it was conceived without sin. He had no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. And thus God could make Him to be sin for you, who knew no sin, that you might become the righteousness of God which is in Him. And just as surely as God made Him to be sin for you, in turn He took that righteousness of Christ and put it on the believer. Can you find anything wrong with that righteousness? I can't. I rest in it. But note, He is not just a shepherd. The psalmist said, "My shepherd." We pointed out last week, Paul spoke of three kinds of assurance. That of understanding, that of faith, and that of hope, which he said, to the end. Now you see there, Brother Hill, if you hope to the end, you'll be safe. That is not what he said. You're not safe by hoping. You're safe by believing. By faith we pass from death to life. Well, I'll get to that hope some other time. I better not get bogged down in it. But Paul shows us how he wanted to know the Christ who was his shepherd. For to understand Him is to have a positive life. Do you want a positive life? Do you want a life that's going to survive the eternity? That's the only thing you're going to take out of this world. Don't you know that? You're not going to take your stocks, your bonds, or your money, or anything of that kind. Again and again and again, I've seen people die that had lots of money and leave it to their kids to waste and throw down a drain. I used to say to my dear old mom, she would sacrifice and do everything she could to give something to we children when she died. And I'd say, "Mom, spend it. Your children, most of them are going to go out and spend it in a manner that you wouldn't approve of." Huh? You better think of it. I'll tell you what I did with my share. I gave it to a widow woman. My mom was a widow woman. Well, to understand Him and have this positive life, there are two steps to understanding. That is, first you must have a knowledge of what God is in Himself. We pointed that out one Sunday. And then, next, you must find out what he is to his child. What does God want to be to you? Have you ever thought of it? Now, what God is and what he is to a believer are two facts that could be separated by months, years, or a lifetime. I remember when I was a child, and I'd always get a lump in my throat. I was a poor boy. But my mom, my sister's here, she might remember it too. Maybe some of you have seen the picture. Here was a little girl, ragtag, barefooted, standing in a snow, and it was snowing. And she's looking through the window of a mansion where people are gathered in the warm cherry atmosphere at a banquet-like feast. And she dies. Do you realize the majority of God's precious people are just like that? They're just like that. Why, no, that's not for me. Oh, dear hearts, I used to get a lump in my throat as I'd see that picture. I was just a kid, and I'd think, oh, my. But I tell you, it gets a lump in your heart when you see God's precious people going down the road of life, starved and starvelings, and they don't understand why they are. Why, sure, my daddy and my mother belonged to that church. You don't realize what's happened to that church. Most of them today are Laodicean in their level. And you know where he was in that Laodicean church? Standing outside knocking at the door. He said, you put me out. You threw away my virgin birth. You threw away my resurrection. You threw away my second coming. You threw away my nature. You threw away everything. You get up and entertain people with a book report. Or you talk about something that does nothing but entertain. Or you put a program in the pulpit. You never tell them the truth. You don't want to offend anybody. Listen, let me tell you. When I get from my knees in that place, I don't want to offend anybody. But most of all, I don't want to offend him. And when you put him out of this place, I will have been gone before that. He's going to control this pulpit. Don't you know that? And you see, I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm striking out for eternity, and I hope you'll go with me. And that's the important thing of your life. But precious hearts, think of the months and the years that people go on like the little girl, window-gazing and dying. So few know what God is in himself, and yet fewer embrace him for what he wants to be to them personally. See, I'm going with God. My daddy was a Methodist preacher. I told my mom, it's nothing but a glorified country club, Mom. Did you know John Wesley? I was just recently there. Got up on the tombstone where his father was the church. Had the church, and where his father was buried, they wouldn't let him preach in the church where his father had been the preacher and preach to the people that came to him. Well, so much for that. Now, Micah, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse says, wherefore shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? And we might well ask ourselves this particular question. For to be the child he wants us to be, we must by faith take from him the Christ that he offers us, who has been made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. If you have any one of these four to please God, you're going to get them from Christ. You're not going to get them from you. You're not going to drum them up from your own abilities. And so, precious hearts, if I try to come another way, who can tell me when I've prayed enough, wept enough, done enough and didn't enough, sacrificed enough to gain his pity and earn his gifts? Such never brings assurance. Of course, we may blindly become Pharisees with all of the foul claims that the Pharisee had, which made Jesus reject them. We've come a long way when we understand the Lord and desire to share his glory. However, to yoke ourselves to the law will never bring such about. Friends, the truth of the gospel is this. He is yours. God so loved you that he gave you his Son. And giving him to you, he gave you everything he had. You're complete in him, the Bible says. For all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. When he gave you him, he gave you everything. And it's only in him. That's like finding a mind that had no limitations. And I left it to my child, and my child just put his claim up there and never found out what was in the mind. Are you doing that? You're an heir of God. If a child, you're an heir of God. And you're a joint heir if you'll just work the mind, not work your brain. Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And he prayed and writes his prayer to the Ephesians. He said, "Since I heard of your faith and your love to all the saints," he said, "I'm praying that God will open the eyes of your understanding that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what the inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward which believe," he said, "which is according to that mighty power which he exercised when he raised Christ from the dead." Read it in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. I never quoted it all because I don't have time. But the inheritance in the saints, think of that. Think of the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. He said, "All things are yours." Huh? Brother Gies? That house you got over there is mine. And mine is yours, if you want to take it. Now, I don't suppose we'll ever get occupied with mundane things like that when we've got a mansion waiting. Have you ever thought of that? Oh, someone said, "Brother Hill, what is that mansion?" I haven't seen it yet. But come around and see me. I'm going to have one. And so, precious hearts, he said, "All things are yours." And this is true simply because he said it. Not because you feel it, not because it seems like it. This is not the reason it's yours. It's yours because he said it was yours. And your part is to believe all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, you may define faith in many ways, and yet the one result in every case is you just come to him. To believe is the first duty of man, the Bible says. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so, dear ones, the absolute of the gospel is this. No money can ever buy it. No suffering can ever merit it. No repentance can ever procure it. And no holiness can ever produce it. The only thing you and I can do, and this too has to be by the grace of God, for I am what I am by the grace of God, is to enlarge the receptive faculty of the soul to receive His salvation, which covers life from the guttermost to the uttermost. Can you see it? Oh, I pray God you'll see it. I've been on my knees this morning. I said, Lord, just somehow help me to make them see you and what you want to be to their life. Without it, you're a failure. In the light of eternity, I never said lost. I said failure. Now, the ultimate state is when a believer can say, I know what God is in Himself. Oh, yes, I know what He is. I know. But yet I know what He wants to be and can be to me in my own personal life. I'm going to apply all that He is to my problem. Reckon it's enough? I'm going to take Him for what He is, for my righteousness. You think that'll pass? If it don't, He's got to kick Himself out. You see? Don't you realize that? Oh, yes, and for wisdom, this little foolishness that we drum up in this thing, I'm going to take Him for my wisdom. And He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And you can tell by the way some people act, they never did ask Him. Now, we can read about such in the books. Or hear someone like I am this morning telling you. But this is not enough. For we have to be like Job. Job said, I used to hear about you. But he said, now mine eye sees you. I'm seeing you for myself now. Wherefore, I'm just as proud as a peacock. No, he said, abhor this thing that's here. And I repent in dust and ashes. Without you, I'm nothing. Will you ever see it? See, I'm about ready to go home. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. Oh, when I get there and I'm going to walk in, probably fall down right away. No, not that low, like this. That you ever loved me, but you did, and I believed it. That you ever made me a joint heir with you, but you did, and I believed it. That it was not by power nor by might, but it was by your Spirit, saith the Lord, and I believed it. You were the vine, I'm the branch. I couldn't bear anything of myself, but oh, with you, I can bear 100%. That is the only kind of preaching you're going to hear around here. If I catch one of these other preachers preaching any other way, I'm going to say that's the end of you. And if I should ever go, you people, if you ever let anyone in this pulpit that won't tell you that. Well, I probably will be so interested I wouldn't come back if I could. But if I could, and was so mind if I had a second or two to get away from him, I'd come back and hunt you. Oh, yes. The psalmist said, he said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He said, I'll take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord, or I'll just take that great cup and drink some more. That's the only way I can glorify you. Sure. Then God's going to have a place for you to get up there and brag how you trimmed your fingernails so you could get to heaven? Well, you just well trim your fingernails and say baptism is going to get you there. Or saying prayers is going to get you there. Or being a good neighbor is going to get you there. I believe when Jesus comes into your life, you'll be a good neighbor. I believe you'll want to be baptized. I believe all of these things will become real to your life, but they'll become an inner compulsion, not something you're doing to try to gain His favor. I don't have to try to gain His favor. I'm accepted. You know how? In the Beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes. And that is a little stronger than that. It says, as the Beloved. I've thought of that meeting when he went back after 33 years. He said, don't touch me now. I haven't ascended to the Father yet. He must have the first fruits. Can you imagine what that meeting was? He went up there and he found his Father just sulking, big frown on his face. He said, get away from me, get away from me. I don't want you. No. You've been down there dabbling with them rats. That's the way he accepts you in the Beloved. Huh? You like that? All right. So, precious heart, such is not reasoning myself into what I feel, but I simply feel from what I've taken from him by faith, and that no man can take from me, for no man gave it to me, and no man can ever take it away from me. Yes, with David, I say, the Lord is my shepherd. No wonder he follows it with, I shall not want. He wasn't interested in saying what might come to him. He just said, don't matter what it is. Since he's my shepherd, how could I want for anything? Huh? Who could cut me away from anything he wants me to have? And if he don't want me to have it, huh? Oh, I'm going to get it anyway. Well, he'll grant your request, but I'll tell you what will happen. He'll send leanness to your soul. You can have it. He's a wonderful Father. So the Lord is my shepherd, and not only from what he has promised, but also what he has performed. He has me both on his shoulders and on his heart as the high priest in the Old Testament. He thinks of me. He cares for me. He shelters me. He understands me, and nothing can separate me from his love or bring him to fail me. The result of this is understanding and my obedience. I shall not want. Is that right? Oh, yes, David never thought what he might need. And no one knows what a day may bring forth, the Bible tells us, but trusting him, every need of the life is absolute. And as chickens beneath the mother's wings, we can press to His warm and loving and strong heart when there is problems. First, we have a provision. Romans 8:32 said, "How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" And then we have love. Romans 8:35 says, "What shall separate us from the love of God?" And then we have grace. 2 Corinthians 11:9, "He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency may abound to every good work." Oh, blessed truth of the sufficiency and faithfulness of our shepherd. Whatever the need, He can do it. For He is omnipotent. He is the Almighty God, and of course He will, for God is love. Only believe, and your joy will be full. You and I, may we honor Him by trusting Him. Let us be willing to receive just as He's willing to give or bestow. Let us give Him the only thing He will not take from us. The only thing He really wants. And the only thing we can give Him. And that is, give me thine heart. Are you going to let Him have that which He died for? If you do, He'll possess it. You'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Your heart will fill with faith. Your heart will fill with love. You'll know the love of God that passes understanding. You'll understand what really motivates the child of God. Two things remain, and I'm hitting them quickly. I'm hurrying. I hate to hurry. I could preach another half a dozen sermons, I think. But two things remain, and that is, Christ is a shepherd for all who want Him. And then, He's the only one who can meet every possible need of your life for any place, for any age, for any time. The angel's message on that breaking before morning, that night long ago in Bethlehem to the shepherd was, listen to it, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you I'm going to give you 10 commandments. Huh? For unto you is born this day in the city of Bethlehem a Savior, a warm, human, loving, understanding of that little baby hand. Held the winds. That little mouth that nursed that nipple had spoken, and the worlds had come into existence. I'm not giving you a set of rules. I'm not giving you some prayers to say. I'm not giving you some man's creeds to follow. I'm going to give you a Savior. And when I give you that Savior, in Him is everything I have and everything I am and everything you are and can be or will ever be. Everything I want in you.